First Kings chapter 17, that's where we will be this morning. And when you turn there, I'll open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for, Lord, the many blessings that you give us day by day. Lord, many things come and go, and we don't even give them a second thought, not understanding that they are a loving gift from a loving Heavenly Father. Lord, there are so many things we take for granted. And Lord, we want to stop and thank you that you are a good God that cares for us every day of our life. And Lord, as we stop and consider your word this morning, that Lord, we will once again be thankful for all that you have done for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As a lot of you will be aware, I was up at Beth Shan, up in the Central Coast, preaching there. And Beth Shan is where I actually grew up. So I think we moved there when I was 4 or 3, and I left at 18. But Mum and Dad had been there ever since then, and Dad still is there. And Beth Shan is nestled just next to a mountain range. And on this mountain range some wonderful bushwalks, if you want to go there. And when I was a little fella, my older brothers, they would go for bushwalks there quite a number of times. And they would come back and tell us how they had discovered what they call paradise. And it was in the middle of a ridge, and it had this little brook coming down, and there was a waterfall flowing, and there were vines that you could swing across the valley. And it was just this beautiful place. And I'd hear them talk about that regularly. And so when I was around about 14, 15, there was another fellow that lived at Beth Shan, another family there. His name was Stephen. And so we went in pursuit of paradise. We wanted to find this place. And so we'd start at the bottom of a mountain where there would be the ridge and the valley. And we'd walk up there trying to find this waterfall. And we probably did this for about 3, 4, 5 weeks. And then we were finally going up, and we could hear the sound of a waterfall. And as we got closer, sure enough, there was this lovely, just a cliff with a waterfall. It would be higher than this building here. And there were this brook going down between it. There were these vines. It was just like Tarzan. You know, we got the machetes, and we cut the machetes, and you could swing across to one side of the valley to the other. And so once we discovered this paradise, Stephen and I, we would go up and we'd even build little sleeping places so we could stay there overnight, although we never did. But we'd take a cut lunch, and we'd sit there and eat our lunch, and we'd pretend we were Tarzan, and we'd get ourselves wet from the waterfall and drink from the brook that was there. And I remember lying there once and saying to Stephen, "I wish I could live here forever. It doesn't get better than this." Now, at that stage, I truly believe that. Now, I look at my house now and I realize it does get better than that. You know, there's a lot nicer things. But at that time, it seemed like the nicest place in the world. And when we read in 1 Kings chapter 17 of a place that God provided for Elijah, I imagine that he thought things couldn't get better than this as well. And we see here, if we were to look at the previous verse, we're not going to read those verses yet, we're just going to have a look at the background first. But we see that in the previous verses, King Ahab was the king of the northern kingdom. And he was provoking the Lord to anger, which is a really bad idea, provoking the Lord to anger. And the Lord sent Elijah to go and confront Ahab. And we read that in verse 1 of chapter 17. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And so he had to go and tell this wicked, evil king that there wasn't going to be any rain, there wasn't going to be any dew until God gave the word. And so a drought was going to come upon the land. But even though others were going to have to suffer because of this drought and because of God's judgment upon them, the Lord had a special place preserved for Elijah. And that's what we read in verses 2 to 6, where it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." And so we read here that Elijah had a little piece of paradise. He had his own little hideaway. He had a brook of blessing where he could drink of that water, even though there was a drought happening around about him. He even had his food delivered to him. Now, we may not actually like the means whereby it was delivered, but nonetheless, he had food delivered to this very place. He had his own little piece of paradise. And it's Elijah's little paradise, and particularly that brook that the Lord provided for him, that I want to consider today. Every time I read this passage in my quiet times, I think of that place that we used to call paradise that I grew up with. But there are some lessons for us, for our own life, because although we may not have a little waterfall in our backyard and a mountain range where we can enjoy, although we may not have what Elijah had here, where we have a little brook where we can drink from and we can escape the drought that's around about us, and we might have ravens bringing us food, we may not have that, but we all do have those brooks of blessing in our life. Things that are a blessing to us, things that we love about our life, things that we enjoy in our life, things that we are or we should at least be very thankful for, things that really we never want to end. These blessings or brooks can come in all different shapes and sizes as well. I would like to think that all of you, or at least some of you, would say that your parents were a blessing or are a blessing. Just someone special in your life that gave you that love that others wouldn't give. I know some of you haven't enjoyed that, but others have. You know, your marriage may be that little place of paradise where you would feel lost without your partner, where you want that relationship to stay forever, even in heaven. You wish you may be able to be married. Your children may be that little brook of blessing, and you never want your cute little children to grow up. Or you certainly don't want your little children to leave home. You just enjoy having them around. They are a source of joy to you. I'd like to think that this church is a little brook of blessing, where you hear God's word preached, you're encouraged by God's word, you enjoy the fellowship, you consider it your spiritual home. And isn't it true, when you have a spiritual home, you don't want it to change. You don't want to leave. It's your little paradise. And you know, the list could go on. We probably don't think of our health as a little brook of blessing, but I tell you what, once you lose your health, you realize what a blessing it is. But to have that blessing to be able to go where you want and do what you want, that is a blessing. Health is a wonderful blessing and a gift from God. Enjoy it while you have it. Your job may be that place of blessing where you can get the money and enjoy the work that you do, and you can provide for your family, and the list could go on. There are many things in our life that we could consider to be little brooks of blessing or a little paradise, something we're so thankful for. And it's these little brooks in our life that I want you to consider today, what you consider a blessing. And I want you to consider them as we consider Elijah's brook called Cherith. There was a girl on camp called Cherith, and that I went to. I suspect they got it from them, a little brook of blessing. And so let's have a look at some things that we can learn. The first thing we need to realize is that the brook that Elijah enjoyed was God's provision. We've already read that. God said, I want you to go to this place and I want you to enjoy that brook and I'm going to get the ravens to send you food. This is where I want you to be. And so this was God's provision. It wasn't like God told him to go out into the desert or to go to Mount Carmel and confront Ahab there. And Elijah said, there's no way I'm going to those places. I'm heading off to that little brook called Cherith because it's a nice place to be. He wasn't there out of rebellion, refusing to do what God wanted, just wanting a nice quiet spot away from all the troubles. No, this was God's idea. This is where God wanted him to be. Now, I know that there are some Christians that are lapping up things in this world at the expense of obeying God. That does happen too, where they should be with their family, but they're off playing with all their toys or seeking their own ambitions. Or they should be in the Lord's house where they can hear God's word and be fed, but they're off pursuing other things other than what God would have them to be do. That can happen as well. But let's not think for one moment that our God doesn't want to provide those brooks of blessing and refreshment in our life. You don't have to forsake the Lord and disobey Him to enjoy good things. And that's a wonderful thing. That's one of the lies that God... that's one of the lies that Satan likes to tell young people. If you want to enjoy life, you have to disobey God. All the good things that are out there are the sinful things, when it's the complete opposite. In fact, the best brooks are provided by the Lord. He said, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And Elijah acknowledged the Lord, and the Lord directed him to this little brook of blessing. And as we acknowledge the Lord, He will direct us to many wonderful brooks. It could be a partner, it could be friends, it could be a church, it could be a job, it could be a house, it could be many other experiences in life. God has told us that He is the one in the business of directing the paths of those who acknowledge Him. Isn't that good to know? That we have an all-knowing God, all-powerful God, and He says, I'm in the business of directing the paths of those who acknowledge Me. That takes a lot of pressure off you, doesn't it? That we have to work it all out. My job is to just acknowledge the Lord in my life. And we have the bonus of the Lord Jesus saying that if ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to them that love Him? You know, if sinful, selfish men still want to give good gifts to their children, how much more shall a sinless, selfless, totally loving Heavenly Father want to give us good things as well? In fact, we're told in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, they that honour Me, I shall honour, God says. We can't outgive God. We can't out-honour Him. He isn't a terrible God that will expect everything from us but not give us anything in return. He honours those who honour Him. And that's why we're told, blessed. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. There are blessings for those who acknowledge the Lord and seek Him. And we can often have the wrong perception of our God, as if He never wants us to enjoy life, that He wants to make sure that we never find those brooks of blessing. And if we do stumble across something lovely in our life, He's quick to reef it out from under us. He doesn't want us to get too comfortable. Well, that's not true. He's a good God. He's a loving God. And we can be sure that if we honor Him in our life, He will honor us. He will honor us. He will direct our paths. He will bless us. And if you have one of those brooks of blessing in your life, don't think it's wrong because you have little pleasures in your life. Don't think that you're being selfish. Don't feel guilty because you have these things and other people don't have these things. God knows what's best for each one of us. Don't think if you have a blessing in your life that God is pacing up and down the corridors of heaven trying to work out how He can make life harder for you and take away all that happiness. That's not how a loving God acts, nor does He think. Now, just like Elijah, God does, and He will provide brooks of blessing for us. And when we have those brooks of blessing, we should be like the psalmist and say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people." What did David say, the psalmist? Give thanks to the Lord, first of all. We should be thankful for those things that are a blessing to us. And what else should we do? Make known His deeds among the people. Let others know that the blessings that we have are not due to our own goodness, not due to our own wisdom, but is due to the goodness of God upon us. You know, I have... As you get older, you realize the things you have to give thanks for. But I want God to know I acknowledge it's because of Him I have these things. And I want others to know that as well. We should be thankful. How often do you thank Him for your spouse? Or your family? Or your church? Or your employment? Or your friends? Or for the food you enjoy, or your needs provided, even your wants provided. Sometimes we just take everything for granted and we don't realize how much we have. You know, the song, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Then it'll surprise you what the Lord has done." We just don't give thanks, and so we don't think God's done anything. You know, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." You know, the first thing I want you to understand is these brooks are a provision from God and we should give thanks to Him for it. Acknowledge that He is a good God. That's the first thing. But then the second thing is found in verse 7, and this is not as exciting. It says in verse 7, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." The second thing we need to learn about our brooks of blessing, is they don't last forever. And sometimes that's hard to accept. Even though Elijah was where God wanted him to be, even though this brook was God's provision for him, after a while the brook dried up. And I could imagine Elijah wondering, why? Why provide such a wonderful place? Why provide a brook and also the birds? Let me feel safe and secure and have all of my needs met and then let it dry up. Aren't you the God of heaven who can do all things? Why didn't you just keep letting me have this brook and sending the ravens? Why take it away? The drought hasn't finished. I still need water and food, so why let it dry up? You know, if Elijah was like us, he would have probably been thinking a couple of ways. First of all, he would have started to think, "Oh, maybe God's angry with me now." Because we get very superstitious. We have something, we think God must love us. It stops, God must hate us. Oh, wonder what I've done wrong. God must be angry with me. Now, it is true. Sometimes God has to stop and take away things because to get our attention, because we're living in a sinful manner. And it's always good to ask God, "Are you trying to get my attention?" But that isn't the only reason why brooks dry up. But often we think it's the only reason why brooks dry up, because God's angry with me. I wonder if Elijah thought that. Or if he thought, like some of us, he would think, God has really let me down. Man, I thought God was a good God. I thought he could do anything. I thought he could just keep sending that water, but obviously he can't. I don't think God's as powerful as I thought he was. He's really let me down here. He could have turned on the Lord if he thought like some of us. Or maybe, if he was thinking like this, he would have thinking, maybe it wasn't God's will in the first place. Maybe he didn't really want me to be here. Maybe I got it wrong. You know, if it was God's will, wouldn't it have stayed forever? Because often we think that if something is the Lord's will, it's going to stay the same forever. God's will, we've got it forever. When the reality is sometimes God's will for us to have something may just be for a short period, but that was his will for that moment. But you know, the fact is, nothing in this life is forever. No promise has been given that the brooks that we enjoy are going to be forever. In fact, all they are is a glimpse of how wonderful heaven will be when everything is forever. But here, now on earth, we are under the curse of sin. And we must understand that. Things wax old, God's word says. Things change. Things in this world are temporal. They are not forever. The fact is, your brooks that you enjoy now are not going to last forever, apart from your relationship with the Lord. Your marriage won't last forever. Your health won't last forever. Your friends won't last forever. Your children won't last forever. It's all temporal. And sadly, many people spend their whole life worrying about things that are never going to last forever anyway. They want to try and make their health last forever. They want their children to last forever. They want everything to last forever. And they're so worried, thinking they might lose something, when the reality is, you're going to lose it at some stage. So often we want to live in heaven now. I want everything to stay the same and be perfect here on earth, when it doesn't. That's not until heaven. And that's why Jesus told us not to lay up for ourselves things on earth, but lay them up in heaven. That's why he said, set your affections on things above and not on the things of earth. These things on earth are temporal. Some last longer than others, but none of them last forever. And just because things dry up, that doesn't mean God's angry. It doesn't mean that it wasn't God's will in the first place. It doesn't mean you're out of God's will. It doesn't mean he no longer loves you. No, just things dry up at times. Did God stop caring for Elijah? No. That brook was just a temporary blessing until it was time for him to move on. And that's why every blessing we have should be cherished. They should be cherished. We should be thankful. We shouldn't take them for granted. We should enjoy them to their full, because life and the things in it are but a vapor. You know, sometimes you can go through your whole time of marriage and just be whinging about everything, and then a partner dies and you realize, I should have been so much more thankful. Or it could be with your children, or it could be even with your employment. You think your employment is so miserable and you whinge about it all the time. But when you lose it, you realize, I should have been thankful for it. You know, the question is, why do brooks dry up? Why doesn't God allow them to stay? You know, there are a number of reasons we can see here from the life of Elijah. That doesn't take long. Let's have a look at some of the reasons. You know, sometimes brooks dry up because it's God's way of moving us on. I don't think Elijah would have moved unless that brook dried up. But it says there in verses 8 and 9, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." You know, he was actually going to go and save the life of that widow and her son. You see, the Lord was still looking after Elijah, but now he was going to use someone else to look after him. He had his rest. Now it was time to go to work. There was a widow who needed him, and the Lord wanted to use him again. And sometimes God has to take away brooks out of our life so we're ready to move on or be in a place where he can use us. And when brooks dry up, maybe the first thing to ask is, "Lord, what's the next thing you want me to do? Where is the next place you want me to be? Which other way do you want to use me if you've dried up this brook?" You know, sometimes brooks just dry up because it's God's way of moving us on. Sometimes they dry up because he has battles and victories he wants us to enjoy. You know, most like the idea of blessings. You know, we all want blessings in our life or paradises. We like the idea of a life that is quiet and comfortable. There's no battles, there's no problems. Everything is supplied for me. I just want to live in my little bubble of paradise and enjoy life till the day I die. But when people do that, they never see God use them. They never experience victories in the Christian life because there've been no battles. If you've got a very comfortable life and everything is wonderful, sometimes God will dry up some of those things so that you can have some battles, so that you can see some victories in your life. It's important to have battles and to enjoy victories. When there's no battles, that's when you start to get stale and you get to get cynical and you get hard-hearted and you need some battles at times. The Lord had also, with Elijah, that battle up at Mount Carmel. He had to deal with those Baal worshippers, and he had Elijah in mind to do that. He still had some battles for him to do. Maybe that's why some brooks dry up. Sometimes brooks dry up because he wants us to learn to grow. Best way to grow is to learn to trust the Lord. When everything is supplied for you and everything is sweet, you don't need to trust the Lord, and so we don't. You know, the problem is we would prefer to have everything provided for us rather than have to trust the Lord for things. You know, some Christians, they're still hanging around that old brook that had dried up 10 years ago. That was the last time they trusted the Lord. And you say, "So, how you been in your Christian life? You know, when was the last time you had to trust the Lord?" "Oh, it was tough, you know, about 10 years ago. We really had to trust the Lord for something. Oh, never forget that." And that's the last time they've ever had to trust the Lord for anything. Because they haven't been willing to move on. They just hung around that little brook. Let me tell you about this brook. It used to be a real blessing. But God hasn't really helped me since then. You know, I don't know what God's up to. And you get all cynical and sad and so on, because you haven't seen God use you and you haven't seen him provide for you because you haven't been willing to move on from that last brook of blessing. Sometimes brooks dry up, so we learn to trust him again. And then sometimes they dry up because they just dry up. You know, in Ecclesiastes it says there's a time and season for everything. There's a time to get, there's a time to lose. There's a time to build, there's a time to knock down. There's a time for everything. Sometimes things just dry up. You know, you look through the photos of your children and you see those cute little days and you think, why couldn't they just stay like that? Next minute they're teenagers, next minute they're gone. Things dry up. You know, the worst thing you can do is try to keep them as little 7-year-olds when they're 17. 15 or keep them at home when they're 50, you know, because you just don't want to lose it, you know. That's the worst thing. That's why you need to cherish the moment. I remember Linda went out to a ladies' meeting once. This is when we're in Coffs Harbour. And I was home by myself and I thought, I'm just going to listen to some music. And they had a song by Mac Lynch, I think, and it's called Cherish the Moment. Because soon they'll grow up. And at that stage, Alicia was only, I don't know, four or something like that. She was asleep. Rob was a little fella. And I just remember then being hit that I needed to cherish the moments that I have with my children. And I went up to the bed and sat there and looked at her as she was asleep. And I probably cried and just gave her a kiss. And I went down to Robert. Josh wasn't around at that stage. But I realized I needed to cherish the moment. Now, that was a long time ago, but you need to cherish the moments, the blessings that God gives you in every way, because they just dry up. You know, Job understood, naked came he into this world, and he brought nothing into this world, and he'll bring take nothing out. But there are brooks of blessing along the way, and we need to cherish them and give thanks to God for them. And as we go on to the new year, let's give thanks for what God gives us. Cherish them. And understand that they're not going to be here forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a good God who sends blessings upon us. Forgive us for taking things for granted. Many things for granted, Lord. Lord, we have a wonderful church here. I hear the sad stories of people that are just have wished they could have a church. Help us to cherish these moments that we have here with each other as well. And give thanks for what you have done for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.